man. Welcome everybody here in this room. I want to say hi to everyone in our Woodside room and at Minnetonka and online, wherever you are. So glad that we can end our Tell Me a Story sermon series this summer. I would say that one of my favorite things along the way has been listening to our kids and what they say in those videos. Those are our Westwood kids. And a few of us were talking about this video in particular, and someone commented that the little boy at the end, Grayson, is set for like at least the next three Mother's Days. Just simply based on how he was loving his mama, in his words. Tell Me a Story has been our sermon series all summer long, 11 weeks long. We've already done 10. Today is the 11th and final one. However many of these you may have engaged, what we know to be a true statement is that God has been speaking to us all summer long. If you've missed any of the messages, you can go back and watch them online. They're a powerful example of what the kingdom of God is like. The series has been built based on the premise that stories captivate us. Good stories captivate us. I see this right now in the life of my kids. When someone, sometimes me, is telling a good story, my kids are just drawn in. They captivate us. They grab our attention. But great stories change our lives. And Jesus knew this throughout the ministry that he had on this earth. As he told many stories throughout the Gospels, they're called parables. And his parables have been changing lives for thousands of years, all the way up until the summer of 2018 at Westwood Community Church. It's been a powerful journey all the way along. We've gotten a vision from Jesus of what life looks like in his kingdom. Along the way, there have been some things that have unsettled us, I believe. There have been some moments of discomfort for me, which is a signal to me to say I'm listening. Because the countercultural kingdom that Jesus casts is a powerful and profound vision. Before we dive into the last message in this series, I want to give you an overview of what's to come starting next week. Our big theme for this calendar year, 2018, is keeping hope alive. And one of, I think, the most audacious claims and yet solid facts is that we can have hope no matter whatever circumstance it is that we're walking through every single day because of who Jesus is and the promise that he brings to us. Next week, we're going to begin a series that addresses a common and most difficult struggle in our lives, in which that's the problem of pain. Nobody likes to hurt physically. Nobody likes to hurt emotionally. Nobody likes to hurt spiritually, but we do. It was Jesus himself who said, "In this world, you're going to have trouble." And yet, in these troubles, God is uniquely near. He uses those places and times and seasons in our lives to help us to be reminded of who he is. And we're hoping that, like we do for any sermon or message series, that all of us encounter the presence and voice of God over those weeks that follow this coming or this Sunday. And we feel strongly that it will help us to do so. So come on back as we all start the fall together. Back to Tell Me a Story and the parables. One more to go. Jesus told stories again to show us what life is like when God rules in our lives and when God rules in this world. And the phrase for that is the kingdom of God. And he masterfully puts it on display in these stories. Let's bring it all together. Matthew 13, verses 31 through 35. It says, he told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. So was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world. This section, really six verses in total, this section is really unique comparatively speaking to the other parables that we've addressed, particularly because Jesus speaks in broader, more general terms than he does the others. But in this parable, the combination really of two different stories, Jesus emphasizes three kingdom principles that he calls us into as followers of Jesus that bring about results in our life as we do the best job that we can through his power and strength to live them out. And what I want to do is walk through these three, talk about the results, and then at the end of today, ask the question, okay, where do we go from here? The first principle that Jesus emphasizes is that the kingdom is here and the kingdom is unstoppable. He brings that to emphasis here. And for me, I remember a season in my life in my early 20s when God shook me up a bit. Following Jesus, I believe, is a reality to which we know that we're lifelong learners. And what's true about us at any given point is that we have been given enough to follow Christ. But what's also true of us at any given point is we got a whole lot more to learn. And that's the beauty of the journey. I was listening to a sermon series on the kingdom of God where the question was asked, what would it look like if Jesus ruled the world completely, which he will one day? And I didn't even know it at the time, but my view of what Jesus' purpose for my life was a bit narrow, because at that point, I had come to faith in Jesus and said yes to him fully and was doing my best job to live that out. And I knew that my eternal salvation was secure in him, but I didn't understand the "and" that followed, and my journey was narrow. God used this kingdom message to shake the cage for me a little bit and wake me up to a beautiful opportunity that laid before me every single day that's summarized by this principle that the kingdom is here and the kingdom is unstoppable. And the point that I felt God pressing upon my heart in that is that God wanted to use my life as it was in order to continue to expand the kingdom in the sphere of influence that God had entrusted me with. The good news for all of us is that we can know Jesus Christ. We can know God personally. We can have our eternal salvation secure. And, here's the genius of the "and," our lives have purpose and meaning as God brings heaven here. The kingdom is here. The kingdom is unstoppable. And God wants us to use and make our lives available to him that he can help bring the kingdom more through us. I've been asking this question over the last couple years in kind of a unique way through a series of experiences that I have had in my life. And it's a simple question that I think we ask every once in a while, and that is, what is heaven truly like? I've not been there. Thank you. You haven't been there. And so I think it's only human to wonder, okay, what's heaven truly like? We get glimpses, we get pictures of it in the scriptures. What will it be like to actually be in the presence of God for all of eternity? Over the last couple of weeks, I've been asking that question in a unique manner because of a conversation I had with a friend of mine who I went to college with. This conversation happened a couple weeks ago. He shared with me that he's gonna hit 40 this year. And I'm not that far from that number either. And so we were sharing in this nature of where we're at in life, and he has kind of made an assumption, though he doesn't know necessarily how long his life will last, nobody does, that let's say he is smack dab in the middle of his life. He's changed his perspective from being, there are 40 more years until my life ends, to becoming, there are 40 more years until my life truly begins. That when this life is over, that's when life in its full begins for him and for us. That's what caused Paul to write in Philippians 1:21, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. And also later in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. What's it like to be with God? What is heaven like? We've heard a little bit of the picture through these parables this summer, and I want to summarize them really briefly to kind of cast a picture of what heaven is like and what God intends to bring here to. It's where no one is lost or forgotten. It's where all the wrongs that we've experienced and committed have been forgiven, and all that is fractured among us as people and among us and God is done away with. It's where the most genuinely humble and self-aware are the most rewarded. It's where the justice that we've been seeking throughout all of our lives is fully granted, whatever that might mean. It's where the last are first, and every human being, regardless of who they are, is considered equal completely. It's where compassion abounds, and the deeds of love and mercy that we've done, those things that maybe we're prone to just look over as too simple, that's the stuff that rings most loudest throughout the eternity that we have with God. It's where, beyond even that, every wrong is made right, brokenness and sin and pain are done away with completely, and as God says, he will wipe away every tear from our eye, and all that stuff that has so plagued us will be gone and done away with. And the only thing that we will know for all of eternity is complete joy and perfect love That's it. And I would imagine there's just so much more to be explored when we get there, when we see God face to face. That is what we will know one day for him in full. And Jesus' claim is that is here, and it's available through his power and through his presence. And it's what he's brought. Wherever and whenever God rules, whatever God wants to get done, the kingdom of God is now here, and it is unstoppable. The result of that, in living into that principle, the kingdom's here, kingdom's unstoppable, is that we get to have hope. We get to have hope. We get to have hope that's real and actual, that God can use our lives to make the surrounding and the experiences that we've had better. But we also have a long hope that says that all of that will one day be made complete, and so will we. We get to keep hope alive because the kingdom is here and the kingdom is unstoppable. So, question for you, where do you need that kingdom is here, kingdom is unstoppable hope today? Most. I think, you know, the world around us is deeply broken. We don't need more than a few minutes into each of our days and our waking hours to see that. And sometimes it makes me wonder, who's really winning? The kingdom is here, and the kingdom is coming, and the kingdom is breaking forth. In your life, perhaps there's sickness, maybe a health diagnosis that's shaken you to your core. You could be walking through suffering. You might be in a season of grief. You might be facing death. The kingdom is here, and the kingdom is unstoppable there. Maybe there's a relationship that's broken or strained among you and you wonder if it's ever going to find repair again. The kingdom is here, the kingdom is there, and the kingdom is unstoppable. Maybe there's people in your life whom you know God wants to use you to help introduce them to him and Jesus' love by sharing your story and your faith. Yet you wonder, based on what you've seen, perhaps in them, if they'll ever get there. And that causes you reason to have shaky hope. The kingdom has come. The kingdom is here. And the kingdom is breaking forth there. And the result of that is that we can keep hope alive. Now, in the parables that Jesus tells here, there's two of them. And they each have a unique meaning. And what I want to express in that statement is this, that these two parables that we see in the story, they help to make sure that we know that the kingdom of God has an address. It has a location. It's not just high and lofty language. It has an actual address that we can see and experience in our lives. Here's the second thing that Jesus emphasizes that's a kingdom principle. The kingdom is within you. That's one of the addresses that the kingdom has. This is the meaning of the second parable Jesus tells. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked its way all the way through the dough. Now, in another moment in Luke chapter 17, verses 20 through 21, Jesus goes a little further in making this clear. He says, once on being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, the coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed, nor will people say, here it is, or there it is, because the kingdom of God is in your midst. I want to focus on that last phrase, in your midst. Jesus was talking to an audience of people that expected the kingdom of God to show up with demonstrable clarity, fireworks, overthrowing the Roman government and making things right in that single moment. But Jesus' kingdom is a different way. It begins within us. The kingdom of God is in your midst. That can also be translated, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is among you. And the kingdom of God is inside of you. I got to thinking about this metaphor that Jesus used. As the yeast works in a piece of dough, it works slowly, methodically to saturate and transform the entirety of that dough to literally transform its properties into something that it could not have become on its own. And the amount of yeast or the amount of dough that or flour that Jesus uses, that 60 pounds, could have been enough to feed a village around him as he told the story. The point that Jesus makes in the amount in the process is this. God can transform anyone anywhere, no matter how far off they may seem from him. Anyone anywhere. God can remove any shame, any guilt, any feelings of not being worthy, and transform our lives to become the ideal, beautiful person in their inner character that he has intended them to be. The goal that God has for your life, the goal that God has for my life, is that all that we become and all that we are is aligned with who Jesus is and what he did. That's the goal. The object of our transformation, turning from one property to another, is to become more like Jesus, simply put. Little bit by little bit, a little more every day. But I just want to say this, man, that's a journey. I don't know about you, but I'll ask the question. You ever feel like you've got a long way to go on that if you're on that journey? Have you ever been reminded in such a way where you wonder if you're ever going to get it right, if you're too far on that journey? Have you ever thought and been frustrated with yourself because who you desire to become, you are not becoming? If the answer to that is yes, then welcome. You're among friends. We're all in that together. I'm finding that I'm reminded of that reality that I've got a long way to go, at least at minimum 5 to 7 times per week. Probably more. You know, I might do something that frustrates my wife, or I might get extraordinarily grumpy with my kids, or I might miscommunicate with my colleagues here that I'm working with in order that we pursue the same goal. That all happened this week, by the way. I'm starting to see in a brand new way that one of the most kingdom of God breaking forth activities that we can do is learn to say sorry better. Simply to say, I'm sorry. And I got a long way to go in that. But if I'm viewing these things right and doing so and breaking forth, they're an opportunity to say, God, your kingdom come, your will be done in my life, because the people around me are reflecting back to me who I actually am, so that I can lean into you to become who you want me to be. It's a simple thing. Now, the kingdom of God working within us to become who Jesus is not a fast process. In other words, it's not microwavable. It's more like a crock pot. Yep. It takes a long time. Eugene Peterson calls it a long obedience in the same direction. A long obedience throughout our lives to become more and more the person whom God intends us to be. And by the way, that person whom God intends you to be, he's pretty clear on it. Jesus said, I've come to give you a life that's a life to the full. He said in other places, I'm not going to lay anything ill-fitting on you or ill-willed. This is the life that you've been intended for. He establishes his kingdom within you. That's the principle that Jesus emphasizes. The kingdom of God is within you. And as a result of the kingdom of God being within you and letting it break forth more and more, you and I get to go into a place of beauty that we're not able to go on our own. And that's simply motivating in and of itself. The third point of emphasis that Jesus gives around the kingdom principle is that the kingdom of God grows everywhere. The kingdom grows everywhere in ways sometimes that I believe surprise us, in ways that we've longed for that suddenly burst forth in a way that we never expected it to. Last summer, my family and I, we moved into a new house. And there were a lot of things that we had that were new to us, as any new home is, you know, noises at night, things that are in the home, stuff in our yard. And one of the things in particular that kind of grabbed my attention was something that I saw as I went about the yard mowing it or when I was within it. And it was this beautiful flower, this plant that was in one of the landscaping berms on our property that's in and amongst trees. And when I saw it, I was like, man, it kind of makes me feel like I'm in this tropical region. It's called a moonflower. This is a picture of it right here. Maybe you have these in your yard, you've seen them before, but they're beautiful. When I saw them, it made me feel like, man, we're like I said, tropical. And so I decided this week that I was going to research moonflowers. And one of the best sources that I found was Better Homes and Garden. Here's what it says about moonflowers and Better Homes and Garden. Moonflowers are one of the most romantic plants that you can place in the garden. There you go. That's probably enough. The large trumpet-shaped flowers unfurl in the evening and stay open till the sun rises. As the name moonflower would suggest, many varieties open only at night. They're kind of a bizarre thing, right? They open at night and stay open. The long white petals slowly unfurl until the evening comes, eventually opening into flower-shaped blooms. And then once morning arrives, they contract back up. They're just so interesting. I saw some of them this morning when I left before the sun was rising, and I thought, how pretty. But also, this plant has a different nature. It says, this plant has a weedy nature and in some cases can become borderline invasive. I'd like to suggest that they remove the word borderline. Because in June and July, as we were in our yard, I started to wonder, where is that beautiful plant that I saw last year? I don't see it yet. Enter mid-August. These things are everywhere. When I was on a run this last week, I was walking back up towards my home, and on the exact opposite side of this berm, which, by the way, is more than 30 feet long, stood a moonflower on the complete exact opposite side that it originated, standing by itself. And I'm thinking, how in the world did that get there? These things are taking over our yard, and I wondered, how does this happen? I got my answer when I looked at the casing that's in the seed. Take a look at this picture. That thing says, I want to fight. Just holding that in my hand to take that picture, my hand was like itchy. And no wonder why these things go like crazy, because in that little pod are thousands of moonflower seeds that then spread and pop up literally everywhere. We've got some maintenance to do right now. But in a different way, it reminded me, God kind of gave me a gift this week in saying, that's kind of what the kingdom of God is like, because the kingdom pops up everywhere. In places that we might not be ready to see it or experience it, in surprising us. Jesus uses, again, a different agricultural metaphor when he talks about how the kingdom pops up and then how the kingdom grows. The mustard seed. The mustard seed is slightly visible on your finger. If you had it on the end of your finger, you could barely see it with your eye. But like Jesus says, once you plant it, it becomes the largest plant in the garden, a tree that birds come and sit in. The largest in the garden. The point is, appearances can be deceiving. Appearances can be deceiving. This tiny seed, which is nearly invisible, becomes something enduring, and that is the kingdom of God. Nearly invisible at first, it pops up and becomes something established that endures everywhere. The smallest beginning can become something that invades every space, every sector, every corner of this world in order to make this world like it is in heaven. I had this moment when we were returning back from a trip that we took to Malawi. I went with a group of people here who are on our Central Africa ministry team. I went a couple years ago, where after what I saw and experienced, so many great examples of how the kingdom is breaking forth for people who are in poverty to have their needs met. The most vulnerable among them were not being forgotten. The church was growing and flourishing, and that area was starting to emerge in a whole new season because of what God was doing and through his kingdom. And as we took the flight from Malawi over to Kenya on our first step, I sat next to the window in the window seat. By the way, I always suggest that you take the window seat. It's got the best views. But I had this moment where I was looking out this window and I saw this red-tinted copper-like soil in these villages, in these huts. And I started to wonder, God, how am I going to re-enter? What's that going to look like? Based on what I saw. And it's also partly because of the song that I was listening to at that moment, but God spoke to me and said, Brian, there is no space that my love cannot reach. There's no place in this world that the kingdom of God cannot break forth. The kingdom of God is here, and the kingdom of God is on the move. Now, to avoid the risk of this kingdom of God talk becoming something too lofty that we don't attach to, I want to ask you the question, what is your plane window? What's your plane window that you're looking out on? That could be your workplace. Is your workplace as it is in heaven? That could be your neighborhood. Is your neighborhood as it is in heaven? Maybe that's your family. Is your family as it is in heaven? Fill in the blank. This week for you, as perhaps some of you students are going back to school, is your school as it is in heaven? Do you know middle school, high school students beyond that God wants to use your life to change your school? What's your plane window? Where's God calling you? Because I want you to not miss something. God has uniquely gifted you. God has uniquely shaped you. God has uniquely given you a character and a personality for you to make a unique impact on the unique window that you look out upon. Nobody else can have the same impact as you by God's grace and power. So what's your window? The call of God upon our lives as it relates to being kingdom of God people is to have the eyes to see where Jesus is already at work and to rush to join him there. That's our calling. The kingdom of God grows everywhere, and the result of that is an inspiration that lasts for all of eternity that can help us to endure in this beautiful endeavor that God has us on. The kingdom of God is here, and it's unstoppable. And the result of that is that we keep hope alive. The kingdom of God is within you, and Jesus is working even right now to continue to break it forth and establish it. And the result of that is an inner beauty that we can't create on our own. And the kingdom of God is growing everywhere, and that's the inspiration that we get for all of eternity. When Jesus was asked earlier in Matthew chapter 13 by his disciples, why do you speak in parables? He gave us an answer which essentially has clarified the purpose for this series. First, Jesus spoke in parables to make the kingdom of God clear and to elevate it. He also spoke in parables to confront people who kind of on purpose had it wrong. And then the third reason why he spoke in parables was to make it accessible for everyday average human beings like me and like you to be able to live it in. That's why he told these stories. But then in this section of scripture in Matthew 13, he goes on to say what the result is. He says, in quoting Isaiah, when you hear with your ears, when you see with your eyes, and when you, by my help, understand with your hearts, I will heal you. And as you look at the scope of the narrative of God's story in the scriptures, God's intention is not just to heal us, but to heal the world through us, to bring the kingdom of God here. The kingdom will break forth in your life and through your life, reconciling brokenness and aligning it with God's ideal. I believe that God's met us this summer. Whether this is your first time here with us this summer or whether you hit all of these 11 messages, God has met us. We've heard from some of you along the way. One person wrote, I've been encouraged and inspired to keep praying for what my family needs because God's going to come through. I believe it. Another wrote, I've leaned into God with an unshakable trust in the midst of oppressive injustice that I'm experiencing. Another person wrote, when I forgive someone, I'm reminded to see their humanity. And then a fourth said, I was not as free from the resentments that I carried as I originally thought. This made me consider how deep God's grace is for me so I could give it away in new ways. Through this parables series, this Tell Me a Story, as we've looked at Jesus and said, Jesus, tell us a story. He's met us. And my hope is that he's met you. And then as I look at the story of the Gospels, especially as it relates to Jesus and his disciples, sometimes when Jesus performed a miracle or met them profoundly where you can see that their lives were changed, I'm going to paraphrase him here, but essentially he looked at them and he said, it's your move. It's your move. Like in Matthew 10, verse 7, he says, go to the lost sheep, and as you go, proclaim the message that the kingdom of God has now come near. Like in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, when he gives the great sending, the great commission, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And then he says, and surely I'm with you always, even to the very end of the age. I believe Jesus looks at us today and he says, okay, now it's your move. And what I find interesting about his interactions with the disciples when he sent them is he doesn't give them a bullet list of all the specifics of how to do what he's calling them into. He just says, trust me. Because he said, surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age for a reason. There are specifics in your journey that I don't know about, I never will. There are specifics in my journey of how I live this out that you won't know about. But God knows and he's with us. He's with every single one of us as we walk out these doors through every day of our week. So wherever your feet carry you this week, even in the next 24 hours, may you hear the voice of Jesus say, it's your move and I'm with you. Because there's a window, there's a seat that you're sitting in that you can make an impact on. Just a couple more encouragements before we close our time together. First, as you go, as we live out this kingdom of God, beautiful picture, to be kingdom of people, kingdom of God people to bring his kingdom, never underestimate the power of the small. That's why Jesus used the mustard seed, because it could be through the smallest thing, a text message, a note, a prayer, a simple new discipline of reading the scriptures or praying differently, writing down our prayers. It's through a small action that God can change the world. He does it all the time. Never underestimate the power of a small start. Do something today, even if it's seemingly small, and God will meet you. And then second, again, this is our theme, keep hope alive. Keep your hope alive with kingdom of God expectations that the breakthrough that you need, God is working for on your behalf as it aligns to his kingdom. He's at work. He's already there. Again, our journey is to take notice of where God is most at work and to rush to join him because he will allow us to make long-lasting, eternal impact on the communities of people that are around us. Jesus says, I told you a story. Now it's your move. So what we want to do in this time as we close our gathering is give us an opportunity to pray, give us an opportunity to bring the uniqueness of our place that we look out at through that window and ask God for the unique help that we need in order to live out this mission. And we're going to do that together through praying and singing. Would you stand with me? Heavenly Father, we are grateful to have life today. That we are alive means that you are not done with us, ever. And we want to remember that every day of our life. God, you're seeking to build your kingdom in us, and so we want to receive it with humble and glad hearts. Teach us what that means. We want to expand your kingdom that's already here and at work through our lives. We need your help and your courage and your wisdom and your clarity to come alongside of us as we seek after the things that you want us to. And we ask for your help in that, God. As we look out our window seat window, there are things and places and people, organizations, systems, and schools that, God, we know you have in the palm of your hand. Continue to work. Continue to breathe life into those places and do it through us, we pray. May your kingdom come and your will be done right here on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name.